the account of the 70 elders in Numbers chapter 11. Moses told the Lord that the burden of leading the people of Israel was weighing on him. It was too great. So to alleviate the burden, the Lord had the 70 elders of Israel come before him. I want you to look in Numbers 11, beginning in verse 16. It says, "The Lord answered Moses, 'Bring me 70 men from Israel, known to you as elders and officers of the people. Take them to the tent of meeting and have them stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak with you. I will take some of the Spirit who is on you and put the Spirit on them. They will help you bear the burden of the people so that you do not have to bear it by yourself.'" Now, go down to verse 25. Numbers 11, verse 25. "Then the Lord descended in the cloud and spoke to him. He took some of the Spirit that was on Moses and placed the Spirit on the 70 elders. As the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they never did again." That's interesting. Just this one occasion, just this one day. But this is an important event to consider in our study on the Holy Spirit. When the Lord placed the Holy Spirit upon the 70 elders, the elders prophesied, but just for one day, just for a limited time. Why would they prophesy for only one day? What would be the point of this miracle? Well, I believe we can see it is to reveal to the people of Israel that the 70 elders carried the authority of God. God showing Israel, "Did I approve of this? Did I am behind this? That this is from me. Take part of the Spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon these 70 elders so they could prophesy and show that God was behind this. God approved of this. God supported this." The miracle proved to the people that these 70 elders were being designated as God's leaders and God's representatives. This was not just for Moses. God is behind this. This confirms God's approval. This miracle of prophecy served the purpose of proving that God's authority rested upon these 70 men. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we see that the Spirit of God rested upon the judges of Israel. When you read the book of Judges, read about the Holy Spirit resting upon these judges, showing that their authority is from God. The kings, the first kings of Israel, King Saul and King David, the Holy Spirit rested upon them, showing God's purpose. The purpose of the Spirit of the Lord resting on these men was to show Israel that these men were God's designated leaders and to indicate the military victory that the Lord would give. The Lord would provide through these people. If you think about it throughout Scripture, how important of a role the Holy Spirit had in confirming God's approval. Even when you go into the New Testament, not only here in Numbers 11, this is not just an Old Testament thing. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descended upon him and rested upon him. And the voice from heaven, God, the Father, said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." There you have it, the baptism of Jesus before he began his public ministry. The Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus, God the Father giving his approval, his voice speaking from heaven. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there, showing God's approval of this. You think about Acts chapter 2. Is it something just that the apostles dreamed of? Jesus was God, we can think whatever we want, man. No, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Gave them power to make it clear that God was behind this. It was time to establish His kingdom. It was God's timing, not man. This is not an addition of man. This is God establishing His kingdom. When you get to Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit led Peter to Cornelius and his household. And he preached the gospel. Well, what's the big deal? These are Gentiles. These are not Jews. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, you see, in the latter part of Acts 10. Confirming that God is approving this. That God is behind this. And it was a lot easier for Peter when he returned to Jerusalem to say, look, I saw proof that God is behind this. The Holy Spirit came upon these people. So time and time again, showing God's approval. In fact, the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit that I mentioned to you, we'll be talking more about in this series, more quickly, was to confirm that that was the word from God that they were speaking. Because guess what? They didn't have the complete Bible like we have today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10 tells us when that which is complete has come, that which is in part will be done away with. That chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is right in the middle of chapter 12 and 14. It's talking about miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. How do we confirm it's from God today? Whether or not it's in this Word, whether or not it's true. But I want us to consider also in this introductory lesson of the Holy Spirit and considering the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. I want us to look at some Old Testament prophecies. Look again at Isaiah chapter 32. It's important to understand the prophecies concerning the Holy Spirit. It's important for us to understand what the Jews expected when it talks about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit taking place. In Isaiah chapter 32, I want to read to you. I'll begin at verse 13 and read through verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 32. For the ground of my people growing thorns and briars, indeed, for every joyous house in the joyful city. For the palace will be forsaken, the busy city abandoned, the hill and the watchtower will become barren places forever. The joy of wild donkeys and a pasture for flocks, until a spirit from heaven is poured out on us. Then the desert will become an orchard, and the orchard will seem like a forest. Then justice will inhabit the wilderness, and righteousness will dwell in the orchard. The result of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever. Then my people will dwell in a peaceful place, and in a safe and restful dwelling. This is some very vivid imagery that Isaiah uses here. And a lot of people read this and they just think that it's talking about physical Israel. But I think it's messianic prophecy here, talking about, pointing to the coming of the Messiah. Human leadership is flawed at best. It will often fail. God's people were in bondage. But we see that God was sent and appointed, anointed ruler in Jesus Christ the Messiah, and He will bring about true righteousness. And I love these words of how things will be then. We see that He will bring forth true righteousness. The palace, He writes, is forsaken. The city is abandoned. And the pasture is barren until the Spirit is poured out. Then everything changes. When the Spirit is poured out, the desert will become an orchard. There will also be righteousness, peace, and safety. Nothing really in this prophecy suggests the or even hints at a personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit here. There is nothing in the prophecy about miraculous gifts and spiritual gifts at this point, but the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in the context simply means restoration for the people of God, and reconciliation, and being able to have a relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ would do. Look in Isaiah chapter 44, verses 3 through 5. Isaiah writes, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offspring. They will sprout among the grass like poplars by the stream bed. This one will say, I'm the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord, and the name himself by the name of Israel." So the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, here talked about in Isaiah chapter 44, really has the same meaning as it did in the 32nd chapter. The picture that Isaiah is painting here is that God's blessings will return to the people of Israel. The nation is a thirsty land, a dry ground, and it will become fertile. Isaiah is describing restoration of the people of God as God pours out his blessings on the people by pouring out his Spirit. Another Old Testament prophecy to look at, very similar, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 13 and 14. Ezekiel 37, verses 13 and 14, we see there, "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from the grave, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord." This prophecy is the vision of the valley of dry bones. And the vision shows Israel as broken, shattered as a nation. And God says that he would pour out his spirit within them. Ezekiel foresaw the restoration of Israel by giving new life to people. The blessing of God returning to his people. God will bring them out of exile, and he will restore them. But again, pointing to the Messiah and how things will improve when he comes. Another place, Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 28 and 29. In Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 28 and 29, we read, "Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land, and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord." This prophecy makes it clear, the same as it does in Ezekiel chapter 37, that the pouring out of the Spirit is God no longer hiding his face from the people. When Jesus Christ came here, when he died on the cross of Calvary, his blood became the means in which our sins could be forgiven and we can be reconciled to God. We can be redeemed through him. And everything will be better. All spiritual blessings come in Jesus Christ. One more prophecy that I want us to consider this evening is in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's read that together. Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 28 and going through the first verse of the third chapter. We read, "After this I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. I will even pour out my spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. I will display wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awe-inspiring day of the Lord, before that comes. Then everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved. For those For there will be an escape for those on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, as the Lord promised among the survivors of the Lord, who the Lord called. Yes, in those days and at that time, then I will restore fortunes on Judea and Jerusalem. This is the first prophecy that we read of in the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit that speaks of the coming of the Holy Spirit as a miraculous outpouring. And Joel is prophesying about how Israel will know when the Spirit has been poured out. That the sign that the kingdom has been restored to God's blessing after being offered to the people who, through the miracle that has been performed, and they have seen that and trust and believe and see that God's approval was on this event. And this is quoted, as you know, on the day of Pentecost when Peter began to preach the gospel to the people, saying that this day that Joel speaks of in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 3, chapter 1, is now here. Jesus Christ has come and he died and he is the sacrifice for our sin. And they asked what they needed to do to make things right. And Peter said in Acts 2, verse 38, let everyone of you repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I hope this has but whet our appetite about studying the Holy Spirit. It's important to see that it's not just something we read about in the New Testament, it's throughout the whole Bible. God poured out His Spirit, and it's showing that God is approving of this, God is behind this. And we know today that those miracles from the Holy Spirit have ceased. Nobody here this evening has the ability that's given by the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. Nobody can interpret those tongues. Those type of gifts have been done away. They were for a temporary reason before the complete Word of God was written. Now we have God's divine Word, and we need to study it, and we can study it about the Holy Spirit. A very controversial and confusing subject, but I hope that we learn much together about this. And I feel this way about every sermon that I preach, but I certainly want to mention it now. If you have questions about anything that I teach, please come talk to me about it. If you see things differently, please come talk to me about it. I want to know the truth, and I only want to preach the truth. And there's a lot of misunderstanding and misteaching about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of God. There's certain things we can do, the Holy Spirit, that none of us want. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, and I hope we never do. But let's begin studying this subject together and as learn as much as we can about it, and not only so we can believe the truth, but we can teach it to others. If there's anybody here this evening that needs to obey God's plan of salvation, think about what an opportunity you have to be forgiven of your sins. Nobody else, no other religion can offer that other than in Christ, His kingdom. Jesus died, He paid the price for your sins on the cross. And we're thankful that He did that. And He offers you forgiveness of your sins. But you have to come believing that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and repent of your sins and be immersed and have your sins washed away and live faithful unto death. Come if you need to. Don't leave here in a lost condition. Come all together. We stand and sing.